Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
How many of you have been enjoying the series called Stretch? And as we dive in, let me start. I usually like to start with something funny, and I heard a story about this atheist who was walking through the woods. He was looking at the trees and the river, and suddenly a grizzly bear comes out and starts chasing him down. He's running as fast as he can, and as the bear closes in, he stumbles and falls. The bear raises its claw, and without thinking about it, he screams, "God, save me!" Suddenly, everything freezes. He hears a voice from heaven, and it says, "All these years you denied that I exist, and now at the last moment when you're about to die, you ask me, God, to save you and make you a Christian." Well, the atheist thought about it for a second. He goes, "You know, God, you've got a point. Could you at least make the bear a Christian?" Suddenly, everything unfreezes. To his surprise, the claw comes down. He breathes a sigh of relief. And then the bear puts its paws together and says, "Dear Lord, bless this food that I'm about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen." You know, speaking of bears, of animals, and actually of stretching, I want to tell you a story to kind of set up the message today. And I have a nephew, and his name is Rocco. And he was about 14 to 15 years of age, and he kept going to his parents and saying, "I want a dog, I want a dog, I want a dog." How many parents have ever had kids in that stage? Come on. He's like, "I want a dog." Now, they already had two little dogs, but he's like, "I want my own dog." Finally, his dad, out of frustration one day, says, "You know what? I'm sick of you saying this. If you want a dog, then I'm going to give you a challenge. If you can do the splits in all three positions, you can get a dog." Of course, thinking that that would never happen, he actually had done some research and discovered that it usually takes a person a year of stretching to get to the place where they can do it. So he's thinking, "I'm in the clear." But what he didn't realize is how motivated his son was. And every time he walked into the house, there was Rocco stretching. He'd be like, "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" Everywhere he went, he'd walk by the area where the TV is. He'd look in there, and there'd be Rocco. "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" He'd walk by the bathroom. "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" Literally 3 months later, he walks in and says, "Hey, Dad, watch this." Bam, he does the splits, and he gets his dog. In fact, I have a picture of Rocco and his dog. There's Rocco, and there is his dog right there. He got a dog because he was able to stretch. Now, what's funny about that is that I'm a runner, and I like to go out and run. It's kind of my time where I pray. And so before I run, as I'm getting a little older now, I have to stretch. And so every day when I'm stretching in the living room, my wife will walk by with a smirk on her face and say, "You trying to get a dog?" You know, what's funny about stretching is I looked up the word stretch, and it means this. It means to expand or to lengthen without tearing. I believe that God wants to stretch our faith. He wants to stretch our vision beyond where it is, but I'm going to tell you, it's not to the point that it's going to tear. It's that he wants to take you to places that you've never been. He wants you to see things you've never seen. So what I want to do today is I want to take a story in the Bible about someone who God stretched their faith. Now, what's interesting is the word faith can actually be also explained with the word expectation. There's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 which says God wants us to live a life of expectation. He wants us to live a life of faith. The word expectation means to anticipate confidently. I want to ask a question. What are you expecting? Are you living life waiting for the other shoe to drop? Come on, how many have ever met a Debbie Downer? Right? You're like, "Man, what a beautiful day." "Yeah, but it might rain." Wah, wah. You've ever met that person? They're just looking for the bad thing to happen? Are you going to live life with expectation for something bad to happen? Are you going to be like David? When David said, I am confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many want to live that kind of life? So we're going to learn how to stretch our expectation so that God can release our faith. And I want to do it with the story about Abraham. And it's the story where God spoke to Abraham and told him, I want you to take your son, Isaac, the one that I just gave you, the one that you've been believing for, that you finally received. I want you to take him to the top of a mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, I want to stop right there and ask this question. How many of you are parents? Do we have any parents in the house? How many, let's just be honest, have struggled a little bit with that story? Okay, so here's the deal. If you have struggled with that story as to why God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that struggle, put it on the side. When you get to heaven, you can talk to God about it. Right now, we're going to take that story, though, and we're going to glean some truth about how God can stretch our expectation. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody say amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here now. We ask you to speak in this place to every heart and help us to stretch. Say this after me. Say, God, I want to stretch my expectation. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin to read through this story, and I want to give you some points today to help us all learn how to stretch and expand our faith, our expectation. We start in Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. And as we go through this, I will use some passages, and I'm going to cut some pieces out just to make the story a little clearer. But Genesis chapter 22 says this. It says, sometime later, God, what's the next word? Tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. I want to give you the first point today. And if you're going to stretch your faith, stretch your expectation, here's what you need to expect in life. Write this down, number one. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Expect there will be some tests. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like faith to me, Pastor Jared. No, listen, faith expects that there will be tests. The Bible says that God tested Abraham's faith. You see, God stretches our faith because, you see, the reality is nobody wants to take a test. I mean, how many of you, when you're in school and you went to school and you took your test, you're like, woohoo, today we get to take a test. Yeah, man. No, it's like every time you take the test, you're like, why do I have to take this stupid test? Come on, have you ever been in the middle of a test and you're like, why do I need to know that? Right? What in the world is a quotient going to help me with in life? Right? I don't want to take the test, but can I make a point? Nobody wants to buy a product that hasn't been tested. You won't go buy a car if you don't know that they've tested that the brakes work. You won't go buy a car if you haven't known that they've tested that the airbag is going to deploy. Because here's the big point. If it can't be tested, it can't be trusted. And the reality is that we need to expect that there will be tests. Why? Because God is using the stretching. He's using the testing so that we can be trusted to be able to step into the things that he has for us. How many know that God has things for us? He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of a hope, thoughts of a future, thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you. God has great things for you, but you can't walk in the greatness of what God has for you until you walk through the test. Come on, somebody say amen. Expect there will be some tests. What I love in the story is if you go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 16, after he's taken the test, let me show you what God says. God says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants. And then it says this, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Here's what I love about that verse. What's interesting is up until this time, God has told him several times that he's going to bless him with descendants that'll touch the earth. But never before had he told him, not only are you going to be blessed and the nations are going to be blessed through you, he goes on to say, now you're going to conquer not just your enemies, but all the cities of your enemies. In other words, God blessed him to another level, because here's the point. The next level is on the other side of your test. You can't get to the next level. Come on, how many know you can't go from second grade to third grade until you pass the test? Because the next level is on the other side of your test. You see, God isn't testing you to torture you. God is testing you to teach you how you can get to the next level. You see, Abraham was called to be the father of many nations. How can he be the father of many nations if he can't be the father of one boy? Be faithful in the little. God will make you Lord over more. Reminds me of a story of a family in our church. And they just recently, they came to our house. We were giving some furniture away to help a family that was going through some hard times. They brought their truck, and they were loading up the furniture. And they said, "Hey, Pastor, you know, did you hear the good news?" I'm like, "No, what's the good news?" They said, "Well, you know, when we first came to Higher Vision a few years ago, we had, you know, made some bad decisions, and we ended up homeless." And they said, "We were literally with our family living in our car for a period of time, or living with friends." And, you know, it was interesting, Pastor, as you started teaching on this concept of tithing and that how that God tests us in the tithe. And so we decided, even though we were homeless, we were going to start tithing. So we started tithing when we were homeless, and people would try to talk us out of it. They're like, "What are you doing? You can't even pay for a house or a place to live, and you're giving the tithe to God first?" And they said, "We decided we were going to trust God, and so even though we didn't have a home, a place to live, we began to tithe, and God began to teach us stewardship, and we began to make better decisions, and we started tithing." And Pastor, I got to tell you, after 2 years of tithing and trusting God, we are moving into a brand new home that we own. We didn't have to put a down payment for it. We didn't have to qualify for it. God has given us a brand new property. We're living in our own home because the next level is on the other side of your test. But you can't experience it until you stretch a little and say, "God, I'll take the test." You know, I'll give you one last thought. If I had a slingshot and I was holding it in my hand and I wanted to point it back and hit that screen in the back, how many know that it would not work until I began to stretch it? And sometimes we can feel like we're taking a step back when we're going through the test, but it's not a step back. It's simply positioning us so that God can launch us into his promise for our life. So don't curse your test. Don't curse your trial. Just sit back and get ready for God to launch you into a new season and another level, because God has something for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at somebody and say, "Expect there will be some tests." Let me give you the second one. Before we do, let's go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 and 3. God speaks to him, and here's what he says. He says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him on a burnt, as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you." And it says this: the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled the donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped the wood for the fire for the burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. And then the very next verse, I'm not sure if they have it, but it says this. It says, on the third day, everybody say the third day. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. So here's what happens. God speaks to him and says, "You're going to take this test." He says, "Okay, God, here I go." God says, "I'm going to show you a mountain, and that's where it's going to happen." He gets up the next morning. He gets the donkey. He gets his two servants, and they head off on their journey, not even knowing where they're going. They don't know which mountain they're going to. And they begin to walk, and it's not until the third day, everybody say the third day. It's not until the third day that God says, "Oh, by the way, this is your mountain." I just want to make a point right here, point number two. Not only expect that there will be some tests, but number two, expect silence during the test. He walked 3 days not even knowing where he was going. He didn't stop and demand an answer and say, "God, I'm not taking another step until you show me what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to take another step," because here's the big point. Sometimes he doesn't talk in the middle of the test, because we all know it. The teacher never talks in the middle of a test. Because if they talk in the middle of the test and they answer questions in the middle of the test, it's not a real test. You see, faith, expectation doesn't demand an explanation. Faith rests in the problem, in the promise. But what we want to do is we want to stop in the middle of our test and quit walking. We want to stop and quit giving. We want to stop and quit trusting. We want to stop and quit serving because now things aren't the way we thought they would be. And we say, well, God, if you'll explain it all, then I'll keep on going. You see, Abraham knew the importance of not stopping in the middle of the test, even when there's silence. Because he thought about his dad. You see, his dad, his name was Terah. And it's interesting because most people don't really realize about the story. If you read the story of Abraham, the Bible says that his dad actually was the first one that left Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. His dad was the one who originally, I believe, was supposed to go to where Abraham was. But the Bible says that he stopped in a town called Haran. Now, that has significance, and here's why. A lot of times, if you haven't read the story and looked at it closely, you don't realize that actually Abraham had a brother by the name of Haran, and that brother died. So his dad had lost a son. And isn't it interesting that if you read the story, Terah leaves to go to the Ur of the Chaldeans, and instead of getting there, he stops in a town by the name of Haran. Let me just say it this way. Could it be that instead of getting to his destination, instead of finishing the test, because he stopped at the place of his pain, he never got to the place of his promise? And there's a lot of people. Did you know that his name Terah means in the Hebrew to delay? Abraham had learned this. He'd already seen it with his dad. And he said, listen, my dad missed out on what God had for him because he stopped in the middle of his test. He stopped in the middle of his pain. He stopped in the middle of his trial. And he never made it to his destination. And so you and I need to understand that just because it's silent doesn't mean that God isn't working. Just because you don't hear his voice doesn't mean that he's not doing something. Because you see, every step that he took towards the mountain that God was going to show him, God was sending a ram each step of the way up the other side. A lot of us never see our ram. A lot of us never see our blessing. It's not because God isn't faithful, but it's because we stopped in our pain because God was quiet. True faith stretches to understand that you're going to have to expect there'll be some tests. And you're going to have to expect silence during the test. Just because it's quiet, hear me, doesn't mean God isn't watching and God isn't working. I want to read another verse to you. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. So Abraham, he gets his two servants, he gets his son, they get the wood, they get the fire, and they get the donkey. And they're like, come on, donkey, come on, and they head to the mountain. They get to the mountain, and here's where we pick up on the story. And this is a really interesting part of the story. When they get to the mountain that God shows him, Abraham stops. He looks at his two servants, and here's what he says. He said, stay here with the donkey. All right? You guys stay here, Abraham told the servants. It's just going to be Isaac and me, the boy and I only. We'll travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. I want to give you point number three. Expect you will leave some behind. I begin to ask myself the question, why did he not take the servants with him? I mean, think about it. They could have carried the wood. They could have made the altar when they got there. They could have done all the work. I mean, that's what they were there to do. But yet he said, no, you're not going to go with me. Load my son up with the wood. He's going to carry the wood up the mountain. Give me the fire. I'm going to walk up, and we're going to go alone. And as I began to pray about it, I think one reason that's logical is that he didn't want to take them with him because he was afraid they would try to talk him out of it. There's some truth right there. We'll go back to that. I think the other reason that he didn't take them with him is because here's the point. Some people aren't called to go to the place you're called to go to. You see, once again, Abraham understood this concept of you got to be careful who you bring on your journey. Because you never know what they're going to talk you out of or talk you into. And sometimes the greatest hindrance to us stretching into God's potential is not the journey, it's the people that are on the journey with us. It's amazing to me, I joke about this sometimes, but it is real seriousness, that guys that are struggling in their marriage, you know who they talk to? Their buddies at work that have been divorced 3 times. And we wonder why. You see, Abraham had learned this. And let me tell you, this is something, again, that a lot of people don't know about the story. You see, God had spoke to Abraham, and here's what he said. He said, when you go to this new land, here's what he said. He said, do not take any of your father's family with you. And then the Bible says that he went and he took Lot. In other words, Lot wasn't called to go where he was called to go. And here's what's interesting. The name Lot, it means a covering, and it's from the root word to wrap up. And what happened is when Lot went, all kinds of problems happened. I just wonder how many of us are all wrapped up in a bunch of problems, not because we're not on the right journey, but because we have the wrong people walking with us. You realize that there was all these conflicts between his men and Lot's men, and literally Abraham had to divide and give away some of his inheritance to Lot, and he had to take the second choice. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. He had to go and he had to rescue Lot, remember that, when he had been attacked and kidnapped by some kings, and then later on they had to go and rescue and bring them out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. All of these problems. In fact, here's what's also interesting. Did you know that God spoke to Abraham when they left Ur of the Chaldeans? And if you read the story, God never speaks to Abraham again until after Lot has already gone. So maybe the silence isn't the test. It's because you've got the wrong people that are talking so loud, you can't hear God anyway. You see, the reality is that a lot of times we end up on a journey and the wrong people can influence that journey and hinder what God has for us. That's why it says in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Then it goes on to say this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, can I give you the Jared translation? Here's the Jared translation. Blessed and prosperous people keep the right company. Now let me just stop and say, hey, I want you to know today, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to have friends that aren't believers. I'm not saying that that we just need to cut everybody out of our life. But I am saying this. Could it be that somebody is wrapping you up in things that are hindering you from what God has for you because you've brought the wrong person on the journey? Abraham said, it's not just the donkey. You guys are staying behind. Because only my son and I are called to go to where God has called us to. You know, it reminds me of this story about a young couple. When we planted Higher Vision, I was talking to Pastor John, and we started Higher Vision right about the time you guys started C3. And we moved to the Valencia area. And when we moved kind of like Jurgen did. We kind of parachuted in. We didn't know anybody. We didn't have any friends. We didn't have any enemies. We didn't have any frenemies. I mean, we didn't have any of it. We popped into that city, and when we were planning to come, there were some people that we thought might want to come with us. And so they began to share, and there was one particular family that worked in kids ministry at the church where I'm at, and they were like, oh, man, we want to go. We'll you know, get a job. We'll leave our home. We'll move. We'll come with you. And, man, I was all excited. Man, I'm going to have great children's ministry. And then right before we left, they came to us and said, hey, we're not going to go. And I was devastated. And so we went, and God provided. But what was crazy is 6 months after we left, that family imploded. One of the spouses went into an alternative lifestyle. One of the kids went crazy and was doing drugs and had a child out of wedlock. All kinds of craziness. And I often think, what would have happened if we'd have started a children's ministry and 6 months later all that would have happened? Aren't you glad sometimes God doesn't bring certain people on the journey? Because he knows who you need to help you get to where he's called you to be. Come on, somebody say amen. Expect there will be some tests. Expect silence in the test. And expect to leave some behind. I want to give you the last thought. And this is where the scripture says that they walked up the mountain. Now, as they're walking up the mountain, let me set the stage. They're walking up the mountain. Abraham's son is carrying the wood. Abraham is carrying the fire. And suddenly, Isaac starts putting two and two together. He's like, wait a minute. Me, dad, wood, fire. Where's the sacrifice? Come on, how many of you ever had one of those Scooby-Doo moments? Like, oh, Raggy? I mean, it's like something is going on. So he looks over and he's like, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And here's what God says through Abraham. God will provide the sacrifice. In fact, Genesis 22 says, he says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Now, when we get to verse 13, they get there, and there is no sacrifice. So he has his son build this wood, this altar, and he then lays his son. Now, his son, some theologians believe, was between the age of 13, could have been as old as 35. So his son willingly participated in this. I mean, no, you can't get a teenager to do anything, let alone get on an altar to be sacrificed. Come on. Someone's just taking their phone is worse than that. Come on, I mean. He gets on the altar. Abraham grabs the knife. He stretches his hand up with the knife. And I know for parents this is so hard to understand, but you're gonna learn something in a second. And as he stretches his faith, suddenly the Bible says in verse 13, then after he stretched his faith, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it in the place of his son. And Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. God had never been known as the provider until this moment. I want to give you point number four. Expect that God will provide. And first of all, I stop and say, how could he do it? How could he even believe or think that God would provide? I mean, that's crazy. Well, if you want to know the answer, let me just show you real quick in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible, and it lists all of these people of faith. Abraham is there. And at the beginning, it tells us what faith is. And here's what it says. Hebrews 11, 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who loves or comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, leave that up for a minute. When we think of faith, we think, okay, yeah, this makes sense. If you're going to be a person who stretches, you got to believe that God exists, and you got to believe that he listens and rewards. But that's not really what faith is. That's just an example of faith. What real faith is that the reason you can believe in him and the reason that you can believe that he'll reward you is because you have a relationship with him because you have earnestly sought him. You see, the ability to stretch doesn't come from quoting a Bible verse or saying a name it and claim it passage. It comes from knowing him more, and the more you know him, because here's what happened. I believe when Abraham walked up the mountain and his son is saying, where's the sacrifice? What are we going to do? Here's what was going through his brain. This is what I think he was saying. He's like, you know, son, I don't understand it, but I do know my friend. Because the Bible says that he was called the friend of God. And so as he's going up the mountain, he's like, wait a minute, I know my friend, and my friend is not a liar. My friend said that my son would be the heir so that all the nations would be blessed. So I know my friend, and my friend doesn't lie. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. This is a test that I don't want to be taking. But I know my friend, and I can trust my friend. You see, the way your faith is going to really stretch is when you first of all know your friend, the one that sticks closer than a brother. You see, this, the Lord will provide, the Lord provider. There's a prophetic message here, because you see what theologians believe. Now, I know some of you say, how could he do that? How could he could take his son up the mountain? How could he sacrifice his own son? You see, here's the thing I love about God, is often God will challenge you to do things that and here's what he does. He doesn't ask you to do something he's not willing to do himself. Because most theologians believe that this mountain where he offered his son was the exact same mountain that thousands of years later would be the mountain that Jesus, the Son of God, was sacrificed. You see, God knew that later on, he would have his son grab some wood and start walking up the mountain. And he knew that thousands of years later, his son would climb up onto the wood and be raised up as the sacrifice. And when he died, it wouldn't be a sacrifice for one man. It would be a sacrifice that would provide for every man for all eternity. You see, you and I are saved because God did what Abraham didn't have to do. And he became known as the provider. He provided. Because here's the point. When you know him, you can trust him. When you know him, you can trust him. Let's boil it all down. The solution is to know him more. Because when you know him, you won't worry about the test. When you know him, I don't have to worry when my wife's being quiet. I either know she's mad at me or she's on her phone. But I don't worry because I know her. And in the biblical way, too. Come on, somebody. When you know him, you can trust him. Can I show you something? The Bible says, and I'm going to be 2 minutes beyond. Is that okay? It wasn't until he lifted the knife that he stretched his faith that he saw the Lamb. There are things that you'll never see until you get on the top of the mountain God's called you to take the test on. Because you see, elevation creates revelation. It's not until you take the test that you're going to suddenly see what God wants you to see. There are things that God has for each of us. But in order to see it, we're going to have to stretch.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.